So is this official?
Teams haven't announced anything, but more and more newsbreakers are saying it.
Is this breaking news on the Fan?
Well,
or?
Jeff made the report. John Morosi had it first. Jeff put it in the update there. We can...
All right,
hey, it's breaking news.
Yeah, go around. Yeah, hell yeah. Go ahead and do it again if you want to. The sound of it makes it feel really important.
Jeff Passan has more words than his.
All right, let me go to Passan now. Keep the bed going.
Well, Passan,
ESPN, local guy. Toronto Blue Jays finalizing a trade to acquire right-hander Shane Bieber from the Cleveland Guardians, sources tell ESPN. The Jays have been looking for another starter, and they got one in the former AL Cy Young winner. First to the news, he writes, John Morosi. John Morosi from MLB Network and NHL Network.
I got to say, I'm blindsided. I was not made aware of this.
We did not acquire a hockey player in return, so I...
Did we get a Tim Hortons?
I was not made aware of this yesterday when I was volunteering as part of the mom's walk with his wife up in Huntington Beach yesterday.
Beg pardon.
So
you were with Shane Bieber's wife?
Yes. I was not...
Was Shane there?
No, it was a mom's walk.
What were you doing in a mom's walk? You're a dad.
Well, my wife was up there, and we were with the kids, and we kind of joined in on the mom's walk.
You weren't already a part of the mom's walk?
No, I kind of... In fact, mom's walk was kind of over there, and I was over.
Okay,
how
we're going
to be a member of the men's club and the mom's walk.
Let's table
you gotta
that.
You got to pick a side.
We got to table that for another day. Please, somebody remember that, because that's a very...
Yeah.
You just joined in on somebody else's event, which is something else.
I'm going to miss those times that we were able to share.
Sorry to break up your mom's walk.
So Shane Bieber is gone. He goes to the... Toronto Blue Jays. I'm not surprised. I'm not sad. I mean, you know, he had a good run here. We wish Shane well in his future endeavors. But I'm not upset. I will be upset if Stephen Kwan is gone by the end of the day. Yes, I will be upset. Because I'm very, 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 very glad I heard Eric in Columbus out, or I would have been wishing I could call that guy back and apologize to him. Because at first, I thought he was advocating for a Stephen Kwan trade and that we would be still a competitive franchise. That's not what Eric in Columbus was saying. With Stephen Kwan, and Eric is the exact person I agree with Stephen Kwan, guys, you're two and a half or two right now? Games out
two
of the wild
half,
card.
Two and a half
games out of the wild card. You're at 500 right now. The Angels are lesser than you, and they've bought in. The Angels are trying to make some sort of a run. And all we want to do is plan for the future. Boy, this team just loves planning for the future. Everything is going to be down the line. Everything's down there. And if you are a financial planner, that's the right thing to do. If the Guardians were running your retirement account, you'd be pretty happy with the Cleveland Guardians. Everything is planning for the future. I'm going to be set up when I retire. But you want to win now. This is professional sports, for crying out loud. And if you let go of Stephen Kwan, I'm sure we'll get a haul. We'll get the Dodgers catching prospect.
We get an everyday player?
Which, again, tell me what you think of Andrew Berry when I say that DeJuan Jones has to replace Jed Wills. Okay, so if I get a great catching prospect, he has to replace Bo Naylor. So the same thing can be said about Antonetti and Chernoff in that case. We're going to lob grenades over at one guy. Better be ready to do it at the other guys.
We have Bob Nightingale says, AA pitcher Kai Steven, Blue Jays number 5 prospect, is heading to Cleveland.
Number 5 prospect?
He's coming off an injury. That's pretty good. That's for a guy who's coming off an injury, that's pretty good.
MLB has already put out the image of Shane Bieber with a Blue Jays underneath him.
I got to say, that's actually more than I thought we would be able to get for him, considering who knows what he's got left. Who knows? We had some optimism early in the season, and then, you know, setback, and it always seems like there's a setback.
Seems to always be that. 216-474-0092. Frank in Washington, D.C. You're next up on the Fan.
You know, as I kind of just look at the news that's developing, I'm kind of with you guys about Bieber, but if they trade Stephen Kwan today, I also think this needs to be the last move that this front office makes. And I think that we now need to really explore the idea of completely changing the entire organization. I don't know what's going on with the Dolans, and obviously we can't force them to do it. But the sooner they can get the heck out of this city and leave us alone and give this to Blitzer, the better.
Do you think it'll be better?
The paperwork now.
Why do you think it'll be better with Blitzer?
Money.
What do you think he'll have? Where do you think he'll have the payroll?
It's a good start, I have to admit.
I just don't know what you're basing it on, though. Like,
he's worth $3.1 billion and doesn't use the organization as his main form of revenue. That's the difference. So
why do you think he hasn't taken over the team already and just bought the remaining?
So far, I agree with Frank.
The remaining money.
I don't think the Dolans have probably let him do it. I think that he probably would if he could. Well, Frank, but I guarantee they haven't sold it to him because they need the money.
If they needed the money, they just would have completed the sale and taken the money from the sale.
Are you willing to share this on the air? Give the sticking point of what you think is between those two and the sale.
Yeah, that they're distressed asset, and we're going into a work stoppage.
Frank, thank you very much for the call. They probably disagree on price on total price.
Yeah, I'm sure they do. What's the valuation of this team without a local TV deal in this market that has got it? I got to be honest, it's just a reality. Like, limited partners, it's limited advertising situation. Like,
it's almost buying GameStop shares.
The cash cow of like where the Jacobs were when the Browns weren't here and the Cavs were an afterthought. Like, they had every suite in that place sold. It was obviously a sellout every night, but they also had the partners. They had the every company in town wanted to be a part of that.
Yes.
That's just never going to be like that again.
Yes. You almost need a whiteboard on the radio to be able to do it. From my understanding to this and what you're saying, Dolans want to sell up here.
Yeah.
David Blitzer would like to buy down here. David Blitzer doesn't want to buy up here and then work stoppage TV deal, boom, boom, bad. He would like to buy down here and then deal with that, but they don't want to sell it because they know it's going to be worth more once the work stoppage is taken care of, or the possible work stoppage.
If they get the finances in order.
And the TV deal is taken care of.
I mean, the Rays just sold for $1.7 billion. Okay, so think about that as a metric, as a barometer. I mean, we just saw these NBA teams are going for so much more than that.
Stadium's in better condition. The Rays have a TV deal set up or no?
They
had a better one than ours.
They're going through the exact same struggles. They might be on the last year of their local TV deal, and then they're going to be at square one.
Yeah, the only thing you have up on them right now is you have a place to play.
Yeah.
Podcast coming up at 10:15. What else you want to get into in the podcast? Is it too late to talk about Ozzy's funeral?
I got something we can talk about. No, it's not too late.
What do you got something to talk about?
Looking back, what do we think of Shane Bieber's Cy Young season? He started.
Well, you
started,
certainly.
Started 12 games that year.
You certainly.
60-game season.
Right? He got a Cy Young.
You have.
Discuss that. Won the pitching triple crown that year as well.
And we got the number five prospect.
Is there some sort of a hot take you have about Shane Bieber's Cy Young season? Is that why you're bringing this up?
I'm just curious how we will look back.
You talked about
season.
This on the Mom's Walk yesterday?
And we'll throw in, because did you hear what Daryl Morey said about LeBron's 2020 season?
What was that?
Said it's just genuinely the feeling around the NBA is it's not a real championship. 2020 is a weird year. Remember Ohio State playing the national championship and we had like 25 guys out with COVID? Nobody talks about that.
I was told it was the busiest sports summer ever.
Pete Werner's still running. Still trying to catch Devontae Smith. You're going to get him, buddy. Keep going. You're going to get there.
We've got plenty of deals trickling in as we talk. Griffin Jacks has been traded from Minnesota to Tampa Bay. The Tigers getting Charlie Morton. Oh, my God. Duvall going from the Giants to the Yankees. but Zach Meisel sending this out. And I believe Zach could potentially be on the midday show tomorrow. I'm saying potentially because I don't know if that's locked down, but it could be. Could happen, maybe. Saying the Guardians are not trading Stephen Kwan per source. So the day of outrage is over, and Stephen Kwan will finish this season for the very least in Cleveland.
Yeah, and we'll have these conversations probably in the offseason. We'll probably have a next trade deadline as well. But at least for right now, you get to watch Stephen Kwan play baseball for the rest of the year. That's just a fun thing.
So the other thing that I think is, listen, I think this says they didn't get the offer they wanted.
Clearly.
And whether it's this offseason, whether it's next trade deadline, whether they wait till another trade deadline from now, the only way you should ever trade a player like Stephen Kwan is if the value is there. And they set the value. And so, like, the Dodgers got Alex Call, who Guardians fans will remember, mm-hmm. for like two fringe prospects. Okay. And he didn't really want Stephen Kwan, and that's okay.
Yeah. I think it's the right thing by the Guardians not to come across desperate as if you needed to make a trade. You get to hold the cards. When you have someone like Stephen Kwan, you get to do that. I wondered if they were going to get worried about not getting anything for Class A and then feel like they needed to stock up the system and had to do something. And clearly they didn't. So that's a good thing.
I mean, I can't remember if it was FanGraphs or one of the other sites. They've got seven top 100 prospects. That's a lot. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, that puts you right in with like the best farm systems in baseball.
Is that the number? They have seven total?
I want to say it was seven because they already had six before the Cal Steven.
But that is part of that's part of what they do is they constantly are restocking that pond. Yeah. They're constantly trying their best because they know they have to. That's part of the Guardians' plan in general is to constantly be calling guys up and then seeing what hits. And then when they hit, they get to stay. When not, we've seen it a million times here.
So
like it's a volume game in many respects, but they have to have the prospects if they're not going to spend a lot of money.
Trading Kwan to me would have been similar to like in 2023 when you got a sweetheart deal for Aaron Civale and then you just moved off Josh Bell. And I remember thinking at the time, I don't love the message. Regardless of like the levels of the deal, I think it really told that clubhouse, hey, we're reeling it in. I don't think Bieber or Seawold do that to this clubhouse.
No.
And so I think keeping Kwan, the thing that I'm most happy about is this team's two games out of wild card spot.
Also, can we be honest about it? The fan base just needed this. It's not why they didn't do it. I'm not suggesting that, but the fan base needed this. It's been a miserable month and a half, 2 months, everything from the 10-game losing streak down to the idea that you have two players popped for potentially gambling on games. Like the fan base needed this one in a big way. If they would have sold off Kwan, the disinterest in this team over the next 60 games would have been it would have been brutal.
Yeah, I guess my thing is, like, in fairness, the fan base, there's segments of the fan base that isn't going to be happy until you extend him. So you might just be delaying the outrage.
Maybe, but it felt like right now, the way that the outrage is, they needed to delay it in many respects. Because it's just, we are at a 9 out of 10 when it comes to the outrage that is currently going on around this team. I don't think I've ever seen it as vitriol as it is. If they would have traded Kwan, we ramped that up to an 11 out of 10.
Okay, but that passes. Like they're every time they trade anybody, fans do get pissed. Even Bieber, like we have not seen Shane at all this year. He's coming off Tommy John, and he probably almost certainly wasn't going to be here next year. And the vitriol of trading Shane in a deal that a fair amount of us actually went and looked, oh yeah, that's what you got for him. You had to make that trade, right? So, like, there's going to be, you should never not make a move because of fan outrage.
No, and I don't think they did, but I'm saying the fan outrage would have been as high as I think I've ever seen it, because right now it's already about as high as I've ever seen it.
Oh, I disagree with that. No, I think there's been several moments across the last 20 years. That to me is why this just feels familiar. Like, this almost felt like, oh, they're having a bad year, so we're back to the same three or four complaints that we've had previously where we disregard any of the good. In fairness, by the way, when they do well, we tend to disregard some of the real complaints we have.
I mean, this is the first time in 15 years I can remember people calling for the front office of Trinetti, to be fired. We're in the middle of a gambling fiasco that is going to potentially have your star closer and one of your best starting pitchers just not play baseball for an extended period of time and could potentially be until the end of the career just be over. I don't know. I mean, it's pretty down and out, man.
Yeah, and
I'd love to look at the glass half full approach on this. I would, but
it's glass half full to say that the frustration isn't historic levels. Like I think it's hyperbole to say this is it's different for you, but like this is not as pissed as I've seen people.
I mean, if you would have traded Kwan, I don't know how much more you could add on, how many logs of the fire you could have added on.
People were furious when they traded Kluber. Actually, as a matter of fact, that breakup of the 2016 to 2018 Guardians going into 2019 and 2020, like, they were furious when they traded Frankie. Nobody's ever been like, we traded that great player? Yeah. And every time it happens, you're right to say, by the way, the Chernetti thing is new. But in fairness, those are the same people, a fair amount of the same people who say fire Chernetti, the same people who wanted Tito out.
I mean, it's a culmination of things. And I think a lot of fans were ready to be really, really mad today. And this has just kind of been a sigh of relief of sorts. Even if the understanding is you're just kicking the can down the road and we're going to have to trade Quan eventually and you'll get the prospects in return, whether it's this offseason or at the deadline. It's been a lot for Guardians fans. There's no denying the past month and a half has been a lot for Guardians.
Yeah, I don't know. It's weird. Like, I just don't get, when it comes to stuff like this, I'm disappointed the way the season has gone. But, like, I don't look at this as more disappointing than 2023. Like, and I also don't lump in the Clase and Ortiz. I know some people have lumped in the Clase and Ortiz thing as if it's like an organizational thing. Yeah, I mean, I would say it's probably more of a Clase and Ortiz thing. And I'm more disappointed in those two guys than I am necessarily the Guardians, as if they should have known Luis Ortiz was into this, whatever he's alleged to do when he got traded for. Or they should have known that Class A, my frustration and anger is at those two players. So I almost even fet that out. It's like, yeah, baseball teams do ebb and flow, and the Guardians traded Josh Naylor and Andrés Giménez, and then none of their young guys panned out. Okay, this plan didn't work. By the way, there's still time. Like, specifically the Quan thing. Okay, now you have a chance to go ahead and make a wild card run. If they're 53-53 today.
Yeah.
If you're the last wild card team, no matter what you do in the playoffs, it's a tremendous success. If you're in the wild card hunt with this offense till the last couple days of the season, it's a tremendous success. Right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that's going to happen. But yes, it would be a tremendous success.
I mean, they're two games out. What's changed? You traded Bieber,
Yeah, but their offense isn't very good right now. Hasn't been all season long.
It was for 3 weeks.
I just don't think it's going to... You think this is a great offensive team or a good offensive team?
Where did I say that? I said they were good for about 3 weeks. I was being facetious.
Okay, but like the truth remains then. Like, I don't think they're a good offensive team. And if you're asking where they're a playoff team, like, I don't think they're a playoff team next.
Well, yeah.
Why is that a bad thing to say?
I don't think it is. Well, you're getting defensive. Why?
Oh, I thought you were trying to, like... Okay, I misread you. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No worries. No, I don't really have anything there.
Just... Oh, okay. Yeah, no, I don't think if this is like... I guess it would be a great accomplishment if they found their way into the postseason. No one's denying that. I just think it's been a lot. And there's like... To me, there's no other way of looking at it based off the previous month and a half. It's been a lot for the fans. And so getting Quan to stay and not dealing with that today, even if they are just pushing the can down the road... I just think it makes fans feel good in the moment, and that's a nice thing. It's cool to have one of your favorite players on the team still be a player on your team.
216-474-0092. Steven Kwan is staying. That is official. Almost everybody else in baseball has gone. Overall, I think the Guardians did a good job of the deadline. They didn't sell cheap on Kwan. And I, by the way, would have, if they had gotten a great deal, I would have considered them winners there too. But I think your rotation is remarkably strong right now. So you didn't necessarily need Bieber to stick in the wild card spot. Seawald, it just has not been healthy enough this year. So even if all you get is $250,000 in cash, I don't think that's the worst thing. Like, yeah, I mean, the only thing I would say is the only missed move was trading or releasing Santana so we can actually play Kyle Manzardo every day.
And I did think that was coming. It did not come today. And so it'll be interesting to see what they do with Santana moving forward. I would imagine the market wasn't particularly strong for Santana, but I would have given him away for a little bit more than a bag of baseballs just so you can open up the spot for Manzardo.
I was kind of surprised, actually, that Boston wasn't actually more into it.
We talked about the Red Sox being a destination for it.
It's also just a good park for him because of left field or right field.
Sure, sure. And it would have been nice to at least have him go out in a little bit of a better situation, all things considered, than saying, hey, all the fan base respects you and loves you, but you're getting in the way of Manzardo right now, so we don't want to see you play baseball anymore.
I actually think it's going to be kind of a test of the organization on whether they just cut him or not. Because if you keep him around at the end of the year and you continue to do this three-way dance at first base and DH, I at some point, like, I understand value. I understand you don't want to waste money. Tough. Like, play Manzardo every day. And honestly,
yeah.
Open up. Listen, David Fry is going to be here next year. We've started to see a little bit more pop with him. We have started to see him turn the corner. I think the second Carlos gets cut, it wouldn't be surprising if he signed immediately in Boston or somewhere else. That's fine. Let him go do that. He deserves to go play on that. And you've got to, like, everybody puts about Kafis. Hey, I don't care. He's a prospect right now. If he comes up at some point, we see him do, that's awesome. But, like, right now I'm focused on Manzardo and Fry. And from here, that's the only way I think you can make this trade deadline better is by making the, what I think is a reasonable move with Santana and just saying, we love you. Take the money, go play somewhere else and chase a title.
I remember I told you about a month ago or so, I thought that like their big plan in all this was going to be they would call up DeWater, they'd call up Kafis, they'd call up all these guys and say, this was our deadline move. But now you've watched DeWater, Brito, these guys get injured, and they just it just doesn't seem like they're going to go to that well. They can't in those two instances, but even with Kafis, it just doesn't seem like they're going to go to that well. So this is the team they have, and they're going to ride it out.
What is your reaction to Stephen Kwan not being traded? It'd be weird if somebody was like, but the value.
I think we were all ready to be angry was the point here, right? I think we were all kind of gearing up for the Guardians to disappoint us and let us down. So the fact that they at least didn't do that today, I think, is nice.
Oh, it's interesting. Like, I'm very happy Steven's here. It really would have come down to what'd you get for him. And that's and when if they trade him in the future and don't extend him, because this certainly keeps the door open for an extension, hypothetically.
Right.
If they don't do that, and they do trade him, that's always going to come down to, well, what'd you get for him, and how does it, you know, impact the next 3 years of a build for me? So it's weird. Like, I was sitting in the catbird seat of, well, I don't really want him traded, but I am on some level, I have to be prepared at any point for you to trade any of these guys. That kind of was in a no lose situation there.
Well, that's nice for you.
Felt nice emotionally.
I'm happy. That's nice for you. Yeah. That's a good spot for you to be in. I was ready to be really angry.
Hall of Fame game talk. Maybe some more football talk here. We'll see if we can wrangle up a guest in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Sounds like there's a clock in that music. That clock already expired. Yesterday, 6 o'clock, trade deadline, Major League Baseball. Come and gone. The Guardians adding nothing to the team that will help this playoff push. But also not subtracting anything from this team, Andy, that you would think would significantly help the playoff push. I'm Jeff Phelps. My partner's Andy Baskin. I say that because Shane Bieber hasn't pitched yet at the major league level, and it's August.
Okay.
And, you know, my fingers are crossed for Shane that he's good to go and everything else. He's had one setback with his situation. Sports Illustrated's Tom Verducci said the biggest gamble at the trade deadline was the Blue Jays trading for Shane Bieber.
Really?
Yep. Biggest risk, the Blue Jays trading for Shane Bieber.
Really?
Yep. Because of the fact that they're kind of counting on him to maybe be a force down the stretch here, and he hasn't pitched in the majors yet. And said if he's, you know, if he's Shane Bieber, like he used to be, he's their second or third starter come playoff time. But it's a big risk. And I think, well, that's an interesting thought. I don't know if it's a big risk or not.
I don't think that's a big risk. What really, if they lose and he can't pitch, then he's going to go back on the IR.
Yeah, but
or
it's
the DL.
But it's this. They made a move to add starting pitching with a guy who may not pitch for them. You would think he will. But there's no guarantee that he comes back, you know, like he used to be, strong, whatever. And that's why Verducci says it's a risk. I think it's interesting. I don't think it's a risk.
I don't think so either.
I don't think it's a risk for the Guardians either. Because they've been getting pretty good starting pitching. And yeah. I don't think it's...
Some are, no, the Blue Jays are in first place in the East, so they're something, right?
But without question, but they went out to add starting pitching, and they've added a guy who may or may not be a big contributor for them down the stretch, and they're kind of banking on that. So I get that. Your Guardians didn't sell off their team.
Right.
Is that okay? Is that what you wanted, Guardians fans? They also didn't bring in anybody to help this year for this team. Not a soul. They traded away Paul Sewald. Paul's only pitched in a few games this year. I think it's 18 games. Mm-hmm. He's had some injury issues. I like Sewald. I think he's a good relief pitcher. We'll see what they get for him down the road. You never know. They could end up getting a player from Detroit who ends up becoming a good player here. But they kind of just they stood pat, Andy. Okay. And I don't have an issue with that.
Okay, I want you to stand back for a second and just kind of look at the big picture. And let me ask you this question. What do they do in the offseason coming into this year? Virtually what? Virtually nothing.
They did virtually nothing in the offseason.
So what do they do at the trade deadline? It kind of mirrors what they did in the beginning of the season. Virtually nothing. So I don't think you should be surprised. In fact, we were so riled up about the thought of Kwan getting traded that the fact that he's still on the roster, I think most Guardians slash Indian fans feel like this is a win. Like they didn't lose. You know, the dealer had, you know, I don't know. You're even. Dealer had 20, you had 20. Now we're walking away from the table. No harm, no foul. That's kind of how I see it.
Okay.
The emotional part of this was yesterday, was going up and down, going, I wonder if they're getting rid of Kwan. Are they going to keep Kwan? And then we're sitting here trying to live on, you know, tweets and stories by reporters from all over the place. And as I said to you guys yesterday, the one thing you got to remember with this organization, and I think it stood pat, you know, ever before Chris Antonetti with Mark Shapiro, was there are only two kind of deals, ones that are done and ones that aren't. And they just didn't make any.
And I'm okay with that.
Yeah, and I'm okay with it too. Because to me,
this team has played good baseball down as of late. They're knocking on the door. But I also don't think that there's enough here all the way around to justify a significant investment in this group right now. It's really, Andy, it's a real fine line. It's threading the needle. It's whichever thing, whatever cliche you want to throw in there. But I would have been a little disappointed had they thrown any significant future assets at a rental or somebody of not real significance to come in and help this team. I'm real comfortable with letting this crew play it out and see what they could do. And I also think it would have been disappointing had you not received, for instance, if Kwan was actually out there and all the national guys were reporting there were talks going on. Well, there should be talks going on. And Chris Antonetti actually said yesterday, here's what we told Steven. We really appreciate him, but obviously so does the rest of Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
That's code for, boy, were we getting calls on you. Well, they should. That's what the trade deadline's all about. And the Guardians didn't hear what they wanted to hear.
I wonder how many calls they actually got, though.
I'm sure there were more than a few.
There were people trying to push the narrative. There's no question, because Morosi's not out there. And I'm just saying Morosi because he was probably the biggest.
And he was on our show earlier in the
week. Newsmaker yesterday, as far as Kwan was.
He did a good job.
He was getting information from somewhere that made him want to send things out on social media. Now, I don't think any of that was coming from here. That's me personally. Maybe I'm wrong. I could be wrong, but someone was pushing an agenda yesterday and trying to see how far they could push the Guardians to let him go. And again,
either that, Andy,
they stood pat to their core principle, though. I think that if they had a bar that they were that's where the negotiation really starts. No one hit the bar. So,
and good for them is the way I look at it. Yesterday, Anthony Castrovince from MLB.com, who knows his stuff like crazy, gave a different perspective on Bieber that I hadn't given a whole lot of thought to be perfectly honest, and maybe I should have. But my thought had been, if Bieber was going to pick up his option for next year, then I wouldn't trade him. I would keep him and put him in this rotation. Anthony's perspective was maybe they didn't want him to pick up that option because it was for, I believe, $16 million, and he's yet to pitch. And you never know exactly what a guy is going to be when he comes back from the Tommy John surgery right away. And maybe they'd have been on the hook. I believe it would have been the second biggest salary on the hook for next year behind Jose Ramirez. Second biggest salary for a guy who you didn't know what you're going to get out of. And Anthony thought that it behooved them, in their minds, to move him before you became on the hook for that. Different perspective on that, Andy. And I understand it. They also picked up a guy in Steven who immediately moves into the number 7 spot on the top 30 prospects of the Guardians on MLB.com's list. And I thought that was really interesting. And not just number 7 spot, he's now listed as the number 1 pitching prospect in the Guardians organization. Interesting.
All right, I like that. Now, he went to Arizona, right, to rehab? Is that what I was just hearing that this morning? That's what I heard. They want to make sure that he's good to go when he's out there. He's had a really good year.
He got called up to Double A, made one start with New Hampshire in the Eastern League, which is the same league that the Akron Rubber Ducks play in. And so when he's good to go, the assumption would be that he goes to Akron.
Okay.
And then, you know, Andy, as we all know, once you get to Double A, it's a real easy phone call to the majors. I mean, you see guys make the jump from Double A to the majors. Usually this organization will send a guy to finishing school in Triple A at least for a couple of weeks.
Sure.
You know, and give them a little exposure there before they bring them up. But, you know, you can bring guys up from Double A. That does happen. And so,
especially when it's closer than Triple A.
And think about, well, it's true. And think about, you know, what this means for next year. I would think that Cal Steven would be under consideration, depending on how he finishes this season, to be in this rotation maybe as soon as next year. And you see young guys coming up. You know, I don't want to. I'm just going to throw out a name, but I'm not comparing him to this guy. Paul Skeens quickly makes his way to the major leagues.
Yeah.
You know, Mizrowski in Milwaukee quickly makes his way to the major leagues. Chase Burns in Cincinnati, drafted last year, in the majors now. I mean, that happens with college pitchers especially. And Steven was a college pitcher. I don't mind the fact, folks, that the Guardians didn't sell off. In fact, good. I also don't mind that they didn't go all in, because I don't think this team is built for a deep playoff run right now, and I don't think some minor additions for future prospects was the way to go.
I also think that there's also a level of trust that when those guys walk back in and when,
Roman, hang on.
You know, when they go into the clubhouse, when your manager walks in there, there's a level of trust when you walk in there tonight and say, okay, we're back out on the field, and the front office could have easily messed this whole thing up, and because these guys seem like they're pretty tight. So I mean, he walks in there, and he's like, front office believes in you. Now you've got to prove it. So let's see what happens.
Roman in Canton, call 216-474-0092. Hey, Roman.
What's up, fellas? How are we doing?
Hey.
We're all right. What do you think about what did and didn't happen?
I honestly, I love it. I think what it says the most is that they believe in the prospects and the team that they have, and they didn't, like you said, they didn't blow it up, but they also didn't go all in thinking that they needed this much extra to make a run this year. And I think that also tells a lot what you know, Vogt has control.
Oh, we lose him?
Roman, we lost you somehow. We didn't touch you. Oh, there you are. Go ahead. Go. Last we heard was you said Vogt lost control.
No, Vogt has control, okay, of the locker room, and he has, you know, he has a voice in there saying, hey, these guys can do it. These guys, let's give them some more time. He's only in his second year, and we have a decently young team. So I have no problems with how everything played out yesterday. Unfortunate for Bieber, and, you know, we wish that we could have got more out of him. But, no, I think this is promising for the future.
All right, Roman, thank you very much. See, I think so too, Andy. The one, and we're going to get into this in a minute, the one thing that concerns me a little bit, I look at the future, and I wonder if it's any brighter than what it is right now. Because I don't see a whole lot of help coming for the offense next year from within. Doesn't mean you can't get help for the offense, but I don't know that it's coming from within. We're going to get into that in a second. The fact that Shane Bieber came back rehabbed here, you basically paid him, you know, $7 million, whatever it is, for what you had to pay him to rehab here, and paid that to get a young pitcher who's one of the, as Jeff Passan of ESPN called him yesterday, pop-up breakout prospects of 2025, because this is the first year of pro ball for Cal Steven. Now, does that mean he's going to, you know, become big time prospect? You never know. The name Adam Miller was dropped on the show yesterday by someone who called. And if you remember, Adam was the number one pitching prospect in the organization for a couple of years, and then had blisters on his right hand, on his fingers, and never materialized at the major league level because of it. So it doesn't take much. But you gave up a guy who hadn't pitched for you this year, might not have been here next year by either his choice or the team's, you know, because the team obviously traded him.
Oh, there's a financial part of that too with him. So
yeah.
And maybe you get, maybe you end up getting a guy who can become a Shane Bieber type pitcher for you moving forward. It certainly profiles the same way coming out of college, because Shane threw in the low 90s and, you know, could spin it. And that's the same thing with Cal Steven.
I just want to see how they react to this, because if I'm in that clubhouse, I'm feeling pretty good about the fact that, you know, the front office brought these men together. They have the opportunity to continue to grow. They haven't taken that away from them. Yeah, there's one relief pitcher that got traded, but I mean, that's it wasn't somebody that I just don't know if the impact's the same as it's not the same as taking Kwan out of the lineup. You got somebody who's hitting that well in the bigs that's contributing every day. That is a key piece, and you decided to hang on to him. I know we laugh every year, Jeff, at that notion of, you know, sometimes not making a trade is the best trade that you can do. Psychologically, I think for the fan base, that was the best thing they could do yesterday. Because if Kwan would have been gone, it would have gone against all of their a lot of their core principles of being able to have guys under control and being able to have them play for you for multiple years on a team-friendly contract. And if they would have walked away from that yesterday, it would have left everyone scratching their head going, now, wait a minute, you said you were this, but that didn't look like that.
What do you think, Guardians fans? 216-474-0092. Basically stood pat and said, go for it, guys. That's what they're going to try to do starting tonight. And what's this look like moving forward after no moves of significance for this year's team at the deadline? What's it look like moving forward? I bleak's not the word I'm going to use, but I'm wondering where the help's going to come from. It's Baskin and Phelps right here on The Fan.
All right, Stephen Kwan, still a Guardian. You made the right decision.
I had so many questions about Antonetti and the T-shirt he was wearing in the press conference.
I didn't even see the T-shirt. I'm sorry. Well, never mind.
I'm looking at him going, was he even really making calls, or was he coming from the Smith machine and he waltzed out from the... Does he use the same facility that the players do? Probably.
Tone.
Yeah, he has to. He's got access.
Well, we're used to seeing them in the polos. They're always wearing the polos. Oh, isn't that what Matt Derry...
Oh, yeah. Like the golf polo mafia or whatever they call it.
The brigade of the mafia.
Yeah.
And yesterday, it's trade deadline day. All eyes are going to be on him. He knows he's going to give a press conference. And I don't know if this is a cognizant thing or if he's just like, oh shoot, I gotta address the media. I was burning the midnight oil up until the 11th hour.
Is he saying, hey, I was relaxed the whole time?
Yeah. Is that what he was doing, do you think, Ken? Do you think he was exuding like, oh, I've been doing this so long?
Just another day at the office.
Just another day. Burning it up, trying to work it out, and there you go. There you got Chris Antonetti. Looking like an Adonis. It's good shape. Know that. I was obviously thrilled that they kept Stephen Kwan. Now, his agent's in town. Can we get something done now? Or does he still just want to play on the West Coast and he's not going to accept any amount of money?
Well, I imagine.
I just want to know if they were to offer him like a nice amount of money, would he just turn it down to go play for the Dodgers or the Mariners or Giants or something like that?
Man, it's weird.
There's people out there who believe that.
Because he still has, you know, it's not like he's an unrestricted free agent like they have in the NBA. And next year, he can get this huge, huge new contract. Like, he's got to wait. And injuries are such a big part of this game, too. Like, I imagine they are. I imagine they are throwing numbers around like crazy.
That's what David Sampson, who, boy, just found a way to upset everybody. I mean, he alienated the entire audience yesterday. That's what David Sampson was saying. Because I totally disagree with David, but I'm not going to sit there and pick a fight with the guy we had him for 25 minutes. And I pick a fight with you, I pick a fight with Daryl, pick a fight with Pony, pick a fight with a lot of people. I was just like, I'm not going to bog it down because he has an opinion from a front office point of view. When I brought up like, hey, we need to be trying to build around the guy who took a discount. And he goes, well, did he take a discount? I don't believe guys take discounts. I don't know how you can look at Jose Ramirez and think the guy didn't take a discount. It would have had to be a life-changing injury during that season for him to not get more money, even more money than the Guardians got. So guys, I've read your tweets. I've got your emails. I've heard the calls. I totally agree with you on that. It was just I got to get to the Steven Kwan stuff, had to get to the other things. This was right before Shane Bieber had got traded, so there was a lot of things to get into with David Sampson yesterday. You can hear that entire interview, 92.3thefan.com. It seems a lot of you just want to cuss him out if he ever comes to Cleveland, though, but go ahead.
How did you guys take in the trade deadline? Because at one point, I was trying to avoid it. Like, I was not checking social media. I was expecting bad news. Yeah. I really was. I was expecting it to come down, and I'm just like, oh, man, 4 o'clock came. And when did we talk on the phone? Because I'm like, is the deadline not till 6?
You go, is he gone? Is it over? And I'm like, well, no, we got 2 more hours. I called you, call ended at 4:28 p.m.
Yeah, part of it was a defense mechanism because, look, you just, I didn't want to walk into today with a trade, even if I thought they'd win the trade.
I was anticipating it.
Even if I thought, hey, this is the way to pivot. This is the way that the Guardians in the past have been able to fortify their future. It's never been signing free agents. It's prospects. It's trading for guys. Maybe they could get I didn't hear a lot of chatter about this, but a major league ready guy now.
Yeah.
And so the logical side of my brain was like, hey, they used to tend to win these trades. So, you know, the fans are going to be outraged tomorrow if they trade them, but I'm going to hold firm and pretend like I know these prospects. And then they didn't do it. And then they didn't trade them at all, which I got to say was a surprise. Just as negative as the fan base was yesterday, I thought for sure he was going to get traded.
I thought for sure it was going to happen too, until about 5:05 or something like that. And then Ken Rosenthal is like, it's becoming increasingly unlikely that Steven Kwan gets traded. And then we had like youth football practice. I was like, well, I got my watch on, so I'll get noticed eventually. And I didn't get any texts. I texted you guys just to make sure from the phone, nothing. I went, all right, he's here. And then that's good. Very, very good. The other trades, though, that were made, you know, Paul Sewald's gone. Are you brokenhearted over that? Because I'm getting to something here, Owen. No. Are you brokenhearted over that, Owen?
Who?
Exactly. So Lyme's not brokenhearted. I'm not. Shane Bieber. What did you think of Shane Bieber? What did you think of that? I mean, we were on air, but go over your initial reaction. You kind of expected it.
Yes, and so I was kind of excited to see what they actually got for him from the baseball nerd.
And it seemed like they got a decent return for Shane Bieber. So you got Shane Bieber gone, and you have Paul Sewald gone, and you got a decent return out of Shane Bieber there. Steven Kwan stays. Is the season over? Did they raise the white flag? They did not add.
Which
I never thought they would add.
Anybody that was paying attention at all didn't think they were adding, did they?
Well, the only possible addition would be the addition by subtraction thing. So had
with they Carlos dealt Santana,
Carlos Santana, right? And that means Manzardo's going in, and you're getting him reps. We all know he's not great at first, so now he's getting reps, and then maybe Kafis comes up. That would have been the only way to really add to what they had right now.
That's about it.
That's what they have.
That's about it. So I can't, when you're 2 games out of the wild card, I don't think that you're raising the white flag. However, I mean, I have to read this. I mean, they were excoriated. And this is where it almost becomes Stockholm syndrome, guys. Because you guys have been frustrated, and I've become frustrated here over the last few months, where the Buster Olneys of the world, the people who know things, you know, they look at you as if you are one of the premier franchises in the game. And I think that a lot of people become frustrated with that because, yeah, you're a good franchise. No one's saying that they're a terrible franchise. But when you can't get over the hump, I think a lot of people get upset about that, and rightfully so. It's a game. It's professional sports. You want to win. But CBS Sports killed him yesterday. The grades came out for the trade deadline. Guardians got an F. You ready for me to read this to you?
Yeah, absolutely. Here we
go. Guardians traded 2 players who are currently injured and otherwise didn't do anything. They're only 2.5 games out of a playoff spot, so why were they trading Shane Bieber when they have a lackluster back end of the rotation? Ah, to save money. That's right. Again, 2.5 games out. Pathetic. That's what they wrote. And
well, we have no idea if he can pitch.
But that's where I get the Stockholm Syndrome.
I kind of think that's funny. How can you kill him if they just got something for a guy that might have been valueless to them?
That's why I say Stockholm Syndrome.
If he can't pitch, if he's not any good.
But to this website, these are national guys. They're going, why are you letting go of Shane Bieber? I'm going, we were getting ready to let go of Shane Bieber last year.
Yeah.
So I'm not surprised at all. I've made my amends with letting go of Shane Bieber. Hurt,
he wouldn't have even been here.
Exactly. He wouldn't have been here by the trade deadline.
He had to sign with the Guardians because he had no other prospects.
I feel like this is found. Honestly, I think the Bieber deal is found money.
Correct.
I think this is a steal.
I think he's right. 100%. I think I agree with you. So
I think that who's doing the grades on this? Do you have the name of the guy? Was it Dane?
There's Xcesa.
Matt Snyder and Dane Perry.
Yeah.
Okay.
I like Matt Snyder. I've talked to Matt Snyder a bunch in the past.
I mean, I'm sure these guys are much, much closer to everyday baseball. I don't know how much they are paying attention to the Guardians every day. But at the same time, are they thinking of Shane Bieber from 3 years ago, 4 years ago?
I think they're looking at it.
We don't know if he can pitch this year?
I think what they're looking at is going, hey, it looks like he's going to be back. I don't know what he's going to be able to help with. And remember, they don't mention this, and they probably know, maybe they don't. My antenna went off when he was scheduled to pitch at Akron, and then that got called off, and we pushed this all back another month. So who's to say I'm going to get Shane Bieber at all? I know he was in Akron just the other day, and maybe for the new club he goes out and he does well. I don't know. I got nothing against Shane Bieber, so we'll see what Shane Bieber does. I mean, over up in Toronto.
I mean, I was kind of being facetious yesterday, but I said it on the air. I'm like, I don't even know if he can pass a physical. So, well, if we could get anything
for him. If
he's
pitching in the minors,
But you know how this is. It's one game, one setback. Like, that's kind of how it works for pitchers in this state of affairs.
216-474-0092. Did they raise a proverbial white flag? Is the Guardian season over?
No, I mean, trading Kwan would have been...
That's what I thought. That's the major hit to the franchise and to the fan base. You didn't trade Stephen Kwan, so there's no emotional hit to the fan base. So you're still in this holding pattern. I think it's still a purgatory of a season in so many ways, but I don't find it to be this white flag. Like what the Twins did, you got rid of 11 guys on your 26-man roster.
And all they're talking about is saving money with the Twins.
That, to me, is definitely like, hey, and they weren't that great to begin with, but like whatever we did before a couple years ago, before the TV deal went out, that's all out the window now. That's gone. So they're going to terrible mode, and it's going to be a while before they build. I don't think this organization went to terrible mode. Now, I expect more out of the guys who are playing. I do, as you guys said, Manzardo should be every day now. Maybe we should get Kafis up here eventually here very shortly. Like, there should be something. The season's still got to stand for something. But I thought I'd be in here ranting and raving over Stephen Kwan being gone this morning. I'm not, so I'm not that upset. Maybe you feel I should be, not you, but maybe the people out there should feel I should be upset and ranting and raving against this organization.
We're upset about the season. Like that, you're asking about the trade deadline.
The season hasn't gone well, but...
But for people, they're just... I think a lot of people are going to lump everything in. They're going to lump, and even, you know, Owen, you had mentioned buyers. Like, because you've had more optimism. You've had more of a... And I almost think...
Well, I made my playoff prediction, right, during the All-Star break. And really, what has changed? Emmanuel Clase, he's gone, right? I thought about it this morning driving in. Like, I still think they're on the fringe of all that. Some of it's changed a little bit. My optimism has changed because things don't look great in that situation, right? But I still believe that if you tell Gattis or Cade Smith, like, hey, you're the closer now, I think you're going to get pretty good returns out of them. It all stems off of, are we going to score more than four runs or not?
That's
the only thing that changed.
Yes, my anger, and going back to the Kwan thing, I don't mean to beat it up. Well, yeah, you have to, because he was the biggest piece of the he was the biggest piece of news, whether or not he was going to be traded or not going to be traded throughout this entire process for the Guardians. I felt as if yesterday morning that it was, and please forgive the analogy, but it's like a guy chasing cards in blackjack because of the Emmanuel Clase situation. We were going to get this return. Like, I had folks going, Ken, look at the return other teams got. This is what they could have got for their closer in Emmanuel Clase. Okay, but that doesn't all of a sudden turn around and give me license to just go trade away Stephen Kwan out of my lineup when I don't have a good lineup to begin with. Now you're just chasing deals.
Were those the same people? And it was probably impossible for you to know, but maybe just from the sentiment, if you can kind of gauge just where fans are at right now. The people,
they were the same people walking in. They are. They do not wear golf polos with the Guardians, but they definitely walk around in the hallways of Progressive Field. Who are telling me that?
Well, what I mean, I understand that. What I mean is the people that are now lamenting, oh my God, look at the return we could have got for Class A. Were those the same people that were going to kill them the minute they traded Class A?
No.
Because I do think
I don't think that the people telling me that. Thank you for clarifying. The people who were telling me that were not those people.
Because I do think there is a segment of the fan base, and I think it's unfortunately for the Guardians, it's bigger than you would like, that were in rip mode no matter what they did.
Well, they're damned if you do, guys. Right? They're gonna, no matter what, they're going to disagree with what they do because they're mad at the way they spend money and things.
And
like
I get
that.
It. I totally understand. Starting in this offseason, not bolstering a team that went to the ALCS and doing everything you could and throwing all the money that was left in the bank account. Even though we had David Sampson on yesterday, who's like, no teams are operating like that. He's like, okay, the Dodgers, they also have the biggest TV deal known to mankind. Like, no teams are spending above what they can actually pay. He's like, there's not one.
I don't feel that the season, they didn't go for the gusto. I never thought they would go for the gusto, whatever the gusto is. I don't feel like the season's over. I don't feel that there's been a white flag. I am not emotionally bothered by Paul Sewald being gone. Now, maybe Matt Derry will join us at 7:40 this morning, and he will prove me wrong on that, or maybe one of you fine folks will prove me wrong on that. And I have made amends 2 years ago with the idea of Shane Bieber being gone. So I am not nearly as emotionally disturbed as what I thought I was going to be if Stephen Kwan is. It doesn't put a sunny disposition. It's not, hey, look over here and forget all the other stuff. You've still been a disappointing season. You've still had a disappointing season this year. You've still made moves or made decisions, not moves, but decisions that I flat out don't agree with and I think the majority of Guardians fans don't agree with and don't believe makes a lot of sense. But if you would have traded Stephen Kwan, not only do I think that you're raising the white flag on the season, I think you're raising the white flag on, frankly, the rest of the Jose Ramirez era, if you were to do something like that. Because the prospects you would get are not going to come to fruition soon enough to really be able to help out my superstar, my future Hall of Famer, and Jose Ramirez. That was going to be my big issue. That's what I was going to be so upset about. I'm not upset. I'm not really understanding on this. They're still in the place that they were, but it wasn't Twins. It wasn't this fire sale that I thought it was going to be. I'm not crying tears over Paul Sewald. I respect Shane Bieber and what he did for the organization, but you know, we thought he was going to be gone last year, and it's exactly what you said. It feels like found money.
And you got Toronto's fifth prospect, right?
Yes.
Their fifth-ranked prospect.
216-474-0092. Do you believe the Guardian season is over? Did they raise the white flag? I say no. It's not a charge. It's not going for it, but it is not, to me, raising the white flag.
I'm forgetting names already, but Dan Hayes, who follows Major League Baseball and as a Twins writer for The Athletic, just was in the locker room for the Twins, and this is a quote from one of the Twins players. Now, no one wants to stay here if they're selling like this. All right, I want to be incredibly empathetic that I do think trade deadlines are incredibly hard, not just on players, but on families, on the locker room. And nobody has to like this. To then turn around and be like, no one wants to stay here if they're... That's melodramatic. You're being a little childish.
Did he talk to Byron Buxton?
No, because remember, he said he's got a no-movement clause.
Buxton wants to be there forever. I just wonder if, now that he's broken up the band, if he still wants to be there forever.
And in fairness, if you're Byron Buxton, $15 million plus a year to be on a 62-win team and only really play maybe 62 games yourself is maybe not the worst way to live.
The market is moving with Stephen Kwan in an interesting way. It does feel like it's down to the Dodgers, and that's really about it. And it's interesting. I can sense the Guardians fans are getting themselves back to getting excited about having Stephen Kwan in their life for at least the rest of the season.
John Marks on Twitter saying once that direct deposit hits, they might forget what happens. I mean... Listen, who doesn't think, oh, what am I doing it all for? Oh, Oh, it's in there? Okay. No, we're good. We're good. I'm happy to be in Minnesota. Let's go with some other. The question here is just, are you making peace with the idea of Stephen Kwan being gone? And what message would a deal for him send? Where do you want to go here there, JP?
Well, I want to see if Cool Lee is actually cool.
That's a good one. Cool Lee in Lorraine. Is it Cooley or Cool Lee?
What's going on, guys? It's Cool Lee.
Okay. All right. We landed the plane there.
Good.
All right. What you got for us?
It's all one word. All right. As far as this trading Kwan, I tend to trust organization when they make trades, especially of this type of magnitude, because that's what the resume says. The resume says they're very good at making these types of deals. As far as them spending money, it's kind of twofold right now. It's the have and the have nots. The gap is so large. So you look at a team like the Dodgers, the Yankees, and so on. These guys are spending astronomical amounts of money, and they're able to make tons of mistakes. Yeah, and I'm just as frustrated as you, JP, about them not spending money. The last since they signed Jose, it has been a total absolute nothing. Yeah, they added Santana. You're right about that, Nick. But they also got rid of Naylor and basically offset the cost. It was a little bit more money, but they haven't really spent anything at all. The problem is, you can't just spend a little bit of money and, you know, increase payroll a little bit and improve the team necessarily, because you don't have the leeway. You can't make any mistakes. So adding a guy for $20 million isn't really going to bring you in the impact player that it did, like Edwin Encarnacion in the past, or even bringing in a Jay Bruce at the trade deadline. You're not able to – those trades just aren't there. So they have to start drafting better. They have to count on making trades where they have control for guys under a long term. And that's really the way it is. And I'm not trying to make excuses. I wish they would spend money. I wish they would keep their talent. But it's just the way the formula is set up right now in MLB, because of the Shohei's and the Mike Trout's of the world and Juan Soto's. It's really hard to spend money in the middle. It's hard to get into that middle ground.
Yeah, right now they're not even close to the middle ground, though.
We
appreciate you. I get what you're saying, and I want to address that. But, like, they're under $100 million. Their payroll was higher for the 2001 season than it is right now for the 2025 season. Like, that's not... That's not even progression. We've gone backwards in the financials.
So the only thing I would say is, to this idea of you don't sign anyone, I think I still think, like, the Naylor trade nor the Jimenez trade were the wrong-minded trades. One brought you Slade Ciccone, who's been really great over the last 2 months, and the other brought you Luis Ortiz, who, when he isn't under investigation by Major League Baseball for gambling, he's really, really talented. The problem is, then when you turned around financially, you bought in two hitters. You brought in Santana. You bought him back for the same money Naylor would have made.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And then you brought back Austin Hedges, who is not a bat. He's an assistant manager, maybe. And then all the other money you put into, it was Bieber, it was Means, it was Junis, and it was Sewald.
Mm-hmm.
And none of those have worked out. But it's interesting, like, to the Kwan part that he was making there, the one thing I absolutely do trust this organization to do is win trades. Free agency, ooh, that is a mixed bag of bringing in the right guys and whether it's worked out or not. Certainly, developments of bats and finding the right guys, that's been problematic, and the guys they have brought up haven't really worked out yet. But the one thing that they do exceptionally well as almost anybody in baseball, is the trade for Kwan.
I mean,
it's a trade, hence the Kwan thing.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. I mean, we'll see what happens. The hard part for fans right now today, though, is that we'll give you a bunch of names and we'll give you a bunch of people if it does happen. And there's no way of winning the fan base on the trade today. It'll take years before we actually see them win that trade. And I think that'll be a tough pill for a lot of people to swallow.
So, like the Manzardo thing.
Yeah, it was a great trade.
Well, but even now, like, you're not playing the dude every day. Play him every day. Manzardo, you totally won that trade.
For sure.
And in fairness, at the moment, there were a lot of Guardians fans who came around quickly to the deal, but it's like, that's a year and a half later.
Right, but I'm talking about today. I'm talking about, like, legitimately just today. Well, obviously you can get there, and they will, but for today, I can give you every prospect under the sun. The fans don't care about that right now. They're not going to look at it in that perspective. Like, I legit think they won the Bieber trade today. I think that was incredible value. I thought that was a really good, for all things considered, what you could get for Bieber. I thought they did a great job. Fans didn't care about that, though. It's very hard to sell prospects on fans today.
Let's go with Patty. Patty, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Yes, ma'am. What you got for us?
I want to defend the Dolans. People want to pay these guys all this money, and they all say they're in it for the love of the game. It's not the money. Then they play good. They want more money. We pay these guys more money. They get hurt. They don't care. Guess what? The price of the tickets go up, food, beverages. So we as the fans, we don't get the profit. The players get the profit, and the owners get the profit. So I like having young kids from AA, AAA, who want to go out there with the passion and give 110%. If we keep them for 4 years, great. If we get them longer, great.
Patty, we appreciate it. Oh, you got more?
Well, I don't understand why we've been talking about Kwan. If he's under our control till 27, 28, guess what? Don't trade him. Keep him till 27, 28. Things turn around on a dime. I mean, things could turn around real quickly if we play Manzato, see what he could do. Play Sneem and see what he could do.
Patty, we appreciate you. It sounded like she was making two different points there about the, you know, just keep him for 4 years and then move off him and then trade Kwan.
I know.
Why
did I get frustrated there? I got very frustrated.
I think it was the
call.
Manzato thing.
Was it the Manzato thing?
The Manzato thing is where you openly scoffed into the microphone.
Oh my gosh. I feel like maybe it's just the whole day in general around this conversation, because I love baseball convos and I love talking about Kwan and what could potentially happen. But ultimately, I feel for the fans that are like, this shouldn't be hard. It shouldn't, even if you didn't want to pay him the X amount of money, most teams, you just don't even have to think about these equations. You just do.
I mean, most teams do have to think about this in baseball. The Texas Rangers are a big market team. They're talking about selling off some pieces to save some money.
I mean, we're acting like
in other sports, we don't. Like in the NBA, we don't. In the NFL, we don't. And I prefer that model, by the way, because that's more pure. But I mean, almost everyone in baseball, the Yankees, now think about payroll in a way they never did before.
You think about payroll, but you shouldn't have to think about whether or not Kwan in a 5-year deal for $100 million is going to break the bank.
I still think that's a very ambitious, just $500 million. $100 million for just $20 million a year.
Listen, if he wants $35 million and I'm off on the projections on him, then listen, I wouldn't pay that to begin with anyway, and then I'll gladly show him the door. But like it shouldn't be the conversation that
it is. What about 25? 25 is too much
25
for
me. 20 to 25 seems like the right range for him, and I think 4 to 5 years somewhere in that seems like the right range as well.
Nick in Brunswick, are you making peace with the idea Kwan will be gone here within the next hour?
Hey, guys, thanks for having me. No, not really. As a 6-year season ticket holder now, I've been a fan of the Indians, now Guardians, my whole life. And, you know, I've seen the decline of the team just progressively over, you know, my 30 years of existence. But my problem that I have with it is that, you know, all over the stadium, guards ball this, guards ball that. We're scrappy. We're defensive. We get on base. We do all the right things. If Kwan is not the epitome of that, who is, and then who is worth paying? Because I don't want to hear any more about guards ball. That's just cheap baseball moving forward if Stephen Kwan's not worth paying in that aspect.
I would say to the last part there, Nick, and we appreciate you, I would say Jose Ramirez is the epitome of guards ball.
Guards ball.
He actually made a snag at third base last night. That was like, he still got it. We don't have to move him to DH anytime soon. He still got it. He's not been good defensively this year, but in fairness, nobody has.
He had a lot of errors early on in the season. I thought he's been much better in the past, like, I don't know, month and a half or so defensively.
I think that's fair.
I heard some Jose Ramirez gold glove chatter from some pundits out there. And I was like, did you miss the first month of baseball?
No, this is good.
I was like, sure, keep it going. Let's have that conversation.
Is this
go.
Just so they never have to give him an MVP?
I don't know.
All right, we're going to give you a gold glove, and then we're going to put you second in MVP behind Big Dumper. Sorry.
Well, Aaron Judge is first, right? And then is Big Dumper second?
I think so. Well, isn't Judge hurt, though?
Yeah, but Judge
is Big Dumper's moment.
It's not like Judge is out for the rest of the season.
But Hosey and Big Dumper.
I think Judge already has like 7 wins above replacement right now. Like he's already, a couple weeks ago we were threatening about doing something like, what could Jose do to get up to win the MVP? And then you look at it, it's like, oh no, it's already over.
It's called Jeff Galluli.
It's a 2-man race.
Yeah. If you want to win it, the next time you see Aaron Judge, just go full Jeff Galluli on Aaron Judge. And I think you might have a chance.
Old Tanya Harding.
Oh, well, Tanya didn't do it. It was her henchman. And then they made a tape, and some people watched that tape, and then she didn't win the gold. That was the worst synopsis.
The 30 for 30 from Nick Wilson, right?
Nick
around
nailed
the corner.
It. Nick, fantastic job.
That's about the 5 for 5 there. The lead in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Yeah, it was bad.
Welcome back to Baskin and Phelps. Coming up at 11 o'clock, former Indians pitcher Jason Stanford going to join us. Anxious to get his thoughts. One thing in particular. Man, the hot commodity of the trade deadline, relief pitching. Wasn't starting pitching, it was relief pitching. And, you know, like for instance, the Padres gave up the number 3 prospect in all of baseball for a closer. That's interesting. 40 relief pitchers were traded at the deadline. One of them might have been Emmanuel Clase, if Emmanuel were eligible to be traded, but of course he's not. I'm Jeff Phelps. My buddy over there is Andy Baskin. I want to look at what, you know, the Guardians didn't go out and bring in any bats yesterday to help out the offense. And I did a little digging and looking down on in the farm system to see what might be coming. If you're looking for offensive help, you're probably looking outside the organization. In the
planting, is that what you were doing there?
Before we get to that, Big Al is in Canton, home of the Pro Football Hall of Fame weekend. Hello, Big Al.
Night. Nice crowd there last night, Big Al.
Yeah, sure was. I want to ask you guys a couple of questions.
Yep.
First off, if I was Dolan and I gave you guys $30 million to spend as a budget after last year, you know, coming so close to getting to the World Series, do you think you, what do you think about that? Do you think you could do some damage with $30 million?
Just additional?
Yeah. In other words, I gave you $30 million extra on your budget.
Yeah, so probably so.
If I didn't buy a new house or something, but yeah, sure.
Let me explain why I'm saying this. If you think about it, Antonetti spent basically $14 million if you take Bieber to the end of the year and he gets his option, $7.5 million on Seawald, and then basically added $2 million to Santana's salary
from Naylor. I think it was actually $3 million, but I see where you're going.
Okay, so everybody says Dolan's cheap. Well, I don't think Dolan's cheap. I think the front office has been great. I mean, but I need to make a point here to say the front office has just bombed what they spent this offseason. And that's even me being kind and saying, okay, let's give Hedgie another $4 million the second year in a row. That's me being kind. So my question, the other thing that really irritates me is when they made that deal with Bieber, they were going to basically medically take care of him for pretty much the whole year, if you think about it. Even if he got back on the field mid-August.
You were thinking the earliest he would be back is July, certainly, Big Al.
Yeah, well, and it didn't happen. So
right, he had that setback.
But the bottom line is, who was going to give him that kind of money without saying, we want the team option, not a player option? For them to give him that deal, that much money, and basically give him the option to leave, I think was just ludicrous.
So we asked Anthony Castrovitz that exact point that you made
yesterday. Because Andy and I made that point this week a couple of times.
So Anthony said to us, hey, look, that's kind of standard operating procedure. And if the Guardians didn't give him that option to give it to him, he probably would have gone to another team.
Which would have been okay because he didn't help this team anyhow, except he brings back a prospect. Yeah,
we totally agree with, like, how did he get the option, right? Is that what you're asking yourself? Because
especially, he should have been kind to us. We've had him the whole time. We've been rehabbing him. It should have been team option. He should have been no question on his side saying, hey, you guys have taken good care of me. I love the organization here. I'm going to give you, because one more year with us with a team option wouldn't have hurt him. He'd been 32 if he wanted to leave after next year. I think they really screwed that up. And plus, they tied up close to, you know, half of the $30 million that he had to spend. Because nobody talks about what he had to spend, because basically he spent $30 million in the offseason. And really, to give Seawald $7 million, joke. The year before, to give Barlow $7 million, joke. To give those guys
look at the cost of pitching around Major League Baseball, Big Al.
Well, you had damage. Bottom line is, we didn't know what was going to happen with Bieber, and look what happened to Seawald. He was old. It wasn't like you got a younger guy that you're paying $7 million for.
I get that. Seawald actually with a good track record, though. You know, he'd been a closer in the past, and he obviously got injured. I don't know if you can sit here and say the Bieber thing didn't work. And I, as odd as it sounds, you might not be able to figure that out until you find out what happens with the guy that they ended up getting. Andy, they paid, let's just say, $7 million to get a guy who was a second-round draft choice the year before by the Toronto Blue Jays, who Chris Antonetti said, we wanted to get him in the draft, but we weren't in a position to do it. Well, now they got him, and it basically cost them $7, $8 million, whatever it was they had to pay Shane Bieber here
right.
so far this season.
Yeah.
That's kind of the way that goes, isn't it?
100%. 100%. I can understand how, you know, if you're in an organization that does have to watch every penny, that phone call is 100% right. It's like, what, huh? How do we end up?
It's interesting.
You know, when you go to look, close the book on the whole thing, or the books on it for, as an accountant's point of view, you that was not very good.
All right, so I took a look at what's sitting in the organization now.
Okay.
Because they didn't bring in any bats. Okay, that didn't happen. And the offense, as we all know, has struggled this year. It's been hot as of late. Maybe it stays hot the rest of the way. Sure hope so. Fingers crossed. But if you take a look at what's in the minors right now, Andy, the word you're going to, there are two words.
Here
they
we
both
go.
Start with P.
Yep.
Process and patience.
Yep.
At catcher, you have Bo Naylor.
Right.
Bo has been swinging a little better bat. I'm not ready to give up on Bo Naylor. I like him. I think he'll be a better hitter, but we haven't seen a ton of it this year. They got a kid in AAA, Cody Huff, and Cooper Engel in AA. So there are a couple of young catchers who, in theory, could come up and...
This show's high on Engel, right? This show is high
well,
on Engel.
Well, I don't know.
I made a great case for him yesterday. I wasn't on board with any of it. I was just kind of like, what? And then
Jim Clark
all
did.
Of a sudden,
the AA,
like,
AA
like,
man for the Rubber Ducks thought he can hit, and he's a 5'8 guy who swings a pretty good bat. And okay. Cody Huff is hitting .222 in AAA. So that's what you have. One of those guys could come up and be your backup catcher next year, unless you think Austin Hedges is invaluable in the role that he's in. And they might feel that way because the pitching staff has done very well this year. And we can't sit here and tell you how much Austin Hedges has had to do with that because we're not sitting there in the clubhouse every day. At first base next year, you have Kyle Manzardo. You don't have Carlos Santana. He's a free agent.
Are you sure they're not bringing Santana back?
No, I'm not. But I'm just saying this is where you sit right now.
I would think they're not bringing him back.
You're not bringing him back either. And then maybe you have C.J. Capus there.
In fact, I'm still surprised he made it through yesterday, but maybe they just got no offer.
Oh, maybe there wasn't anything there for him.
Yeah.
And C.J. Capus, who's a left-handed hitter, primarily plays first base.
Yep.
So you got two of the same guys, right? In theory. Second base.
So you think you're going to be Manzardo and Capus at first? I'm just up.
No, I think you're going to be Manzardo at first.
Capus as the backup?
I don't know what you're going to do with Capus, but I think it's Manzardo. I think it's Kyle's.
It should be Manzardo, shouldn't
it?
Based on the expense, yeah.
Yeah, let him play 150 games next year.
Yeah.
Go. Let him be out there. Second base next year. Juan Brito is still here. Juan's been hurt. Juan would have been the second baseman, I think, at the start of the season if he hadn't been hurt. And maybe we'll see him sooner rather than later.
Jeff, you know Rocchio is about to go on a tear at the end of the season just to mess up this conversation.
I hope so.
Just to mess up the conversation.
Could somebody go on a tear? Please. I'm all for that. And
I think
Brito gets a look until Bezzana is ready. And could that be next year? Yeah, I think it could be next year. But I think he's going to have to finish real strong this year for that to happen. And if he gets hot in AA, he's playing in AA right now after missing that time with the oblique injury. I wouldn't be surprised if he gets hot, they bump him up to AAA. And then that puts him in prime position to be here next year. He could win that job in spring training. And I hope he does. And if he doesn't, I'll think, oh boy, only a matter of time. Because we're seeing guys from that draft class already in the majors. Third base, it's Jose.
That's easy. Yeah.
Shortstop. Is it Rocchio? Is it Gabe Arias? Is it Angel Anao, who is the guy, and it looks like Angel Genoa, but it's not, but it's Angel Anao, and he's playing in AA right now, and he's listed as one of the most highly rated prospects in this organization. So right now, I think you have three, not right now, you have Anao and Arias and Rocchio. So I think it's imperative for Rocchio or Arias to show something the rest of the way, or they're going to get threatened by a guy who's in double A right now, doing a pretty good job. He's in the same boat as Bezzana. I honestly think your double a play combination could be playing in double A Akron right now. We'll see. I don't know if you can go rookies at both of those spots, but Rocchio and Arias have to show something because there's somebody knocking on the door. Center field.
And one was drafted number one overall. I mean, Jeff, we're going to see Bezzana next year. How can we not?
If he doesn't perform well, Andy, you're not going to see him. But I think you'll see him next year. I agree with you.
All right.
But at the beginning of the year, it might be Brito.
I don't know how you can let him sit down there when you're watching other guys from that draft that we were talking about, you know, top three, top four picks, in the bigs. And now all of a sudden your guy's like not here yet.
Yeah. Come on. This gets scary a little bit. Your outfield, and it's been scary for years. Kwan is your left fielder, is he not?
Yeah, there's no doubt.
He has 2 years left.
Unless they trade him in the offseason.
Well, but if you're going to trade him, you needed to trade him yesterday because you weren't going to get him. You weren't going to get better value for him than you were at the trade deadline.
Unless you see a team that could have great potential during the playoffs and lost because they didn't have a player like Kwan. You might be able to get them in the offseason and go, you know what? We screwed this thing up. We are not going to do that again. Let's go get him in the offseason.
Off-season price tag won't be as much as trade deadline price tag. Kwan said he wants to be here. He told the Plain Dealer, good story by Ethan Sands, I want to be here. I'd love to talk about an extension. My guess is the Guardians feel the same way, but you've got to go ahead and then, you know, find common ground.
So we'll start talking. Let's go.
Well, exactly. You got to find common ground. He's in left field, center field next year. Angel Martinez? He's looked good.
I like him.
There are two guys in the minors. Khalil Watson, who was a first-round pick from Miami. They got him in the Josh Bell deal. They turned him into a center fielder. He's been moved up to AAA. Jim Clark told us about him yesterday.
There was talk that Martinez could have got moved yesterday, too. I read some stuff about that.
Well, I kind of like Martinez. Let's see. And then there's the other kid that they've been looking at for a couple of years, Petey Halpin, who's an outfielder who's playing in AAA. So there are three internal candidates for center field for next year. Can they hit? That's the question. Right field looks like a disaster again. Chase DeLauder. It doesn't.
It's not if DeLauder can land. It's not a disaster.
Yeah, but Andy, does his track record give you any confidence at all that he's going to be on this team next year? I would love to see him there. I would love to see him in center field. But his injury history tells you, man, it tells me this, if nothing else. If you're banking on him, you're making a mistake. And if you're thinking, well, let's see what he does, and maybe he can take that spot, well, good. Then that's the way to do it. But if you're banking on him, I think you're in trouble. Nolan Jones, glad they got him back. He hasn't shown that he deserves to be here next year. Jonathan Rodriguez, love his body build, love what he did in AAA. He hasn't shown he deserves to be here next year. John Kenzie Noel, so much fun last year. He hasn't shown that he deserves to be here next year.
And by the way, are we going to see a power hitting transition next year with some? I'm not saying
with some of the guys he drafted.
Yeah, I'm not saying they're going to get here next year, but at some point, the power's got to come to the top.
You could go platoon at DH next year with David Fry and Kafis, or Kafis could play a little first base. I wonder about that. That's the offensive side of it. Pitching wise next year, Andy, I think your rotation looks pretty solid. Don't you think? You got young guys who I think are doing a nice job this year.
Is Ortiz back next year? I don't know.
Well, with that, I'm
just throwing him in the mix. I mean,
Class A or Ortiz. Okay. Until Major League Baseball tells me what they found out and what they're going to do, they're out. Bibee, Kevin Williams, Ciccone, Logan Allen, Joey Cantillo. Now you have Steven, who you just picked up. You have Doug Nikhazy, who was a second-round pick. You have a guy named Parker Messick. You've got guys there that you would think you have enough candidates already for starting rotation. And the same thing in the bullpen. Don't forget, you have Trevor Stephan coming back. So you could have Steven and Stephan on this team next year.
Can't be any worse than Bibee and Bieber. So
don't forget Sam Henches is coming back, too. So you've got arms in the bullpen. Whether Class A's back or not, you have arms. But I think if you're looking for significant offensive improvement for next season, you got to keep your fingers crossed on DeLauder and Bezzana, that he's ready to go, and that Manzardo can be an everyday first baseman, and maybe look outside the organization.